You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
East Coast time. We're in New York and we're just chilling. There's nothing else to do. The polls will be closing soon in New Hampshire. And here's a headline from usuncut.com. You ready for this one? February 8th, 2016. Instead of helping Flint, Michigan, Republicans just passed a bill that makes anal sex illegal. Up to 8,000 children in Flint, Michigan have potentially been poisoned by their own water supply, and so the Michigan Senate has bravely come together to push through a bill that bans anal sex. The insanity of this move is made even more outrageous by the fact that, number one, Michigan already has a sodomy ban. Okay, so then what are we worrying about? You can't put it in your butt in Michigan anyway. Calm down, everybody. The ban is completely pointless. That's number two. And the 2003 Supreme Court case, Lawrence versus Texas, declared sodomy bans unconstitutional in all states. Oh, good. 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 To think of all the people that were... But I need anal sex. It's integral. Can you imagine that? It's just hilarious. That's just... I mean, we deserve everything that we get. We deserve everything that we get. Everything. Everything. We're so fucking petty. We're so fucking stupid. Everything that we get, we deserve 10 times fold. 10 times fold. Especially in Flint, when the narrative has been completely botched once again, just like with Oregon and everywhere else. In Flint, Michigan, you have government that's in control of water, that switches water sources and lies to people about what's safe and what's not, that gives government officials clean water and tips about keeping themselves safe over the citizenry they're supposed to serve. And then when people start getting sick and everybody starts realizing, oh yes, this actually is a problem and we can't sidestep it anymore, they start doing the whole Republican-Democrat thing, passing the blame. Even though the entire Flint City Council is Democrat, you have a Republican governor, Republican, Democrat. The Republicans did this. The Democrats did this. You have a Republican in the top seat of the state. You have Democrats that switch this and that around. Oh. Okay. Well, then it's a matter of party then. It's a party issue then. It's not a matter of government in general. It's not a matter of government in general. And the best thing about it is that government forces you to pay for water that will kill you and your family, get you lead poisoning, outbreak of Legionnaire's disease. You've got to pay twice. If you want to go out and get yourself bottled water or purified water from some other source, you still have to pay for your water at home. So you're getting charged twice. And what does water, what does water really mean? What is water? for a human being and for any kind of plant life, for any organic life on this earth, what does water really mean? Water equates with life and sustenance. So that means that the government is in control of your very ability to live. Your ability to live. And we're arguing over party politics. Y'all are cute. Y'all are real cute. Most ridiculous shit I've ever heard in my life. And now we'll go lay an egg over anal sex. Let's keep going with this. So, to reiterate, because, you know, U.S. Uncut is doing such a good job because, of course, the real point here is that government's not doing enough. That's the real point, everybody. I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. I need a little bit more understanding on the issue. First, we need to fix the blame. Then we need to fix the problem. You know, it's the reversal of that old Japanese proverb. You know, don't fix the blame, fix the problem. Well, first thing we're going to do is fix the blame. And then we're going to forget about the problem, which is government. You know, the same government that says you have to buy our shitty water and clean water that you can actually use. You also will be fined and or put in jail if we hear that you are collecting rainwater. You'll also be fined and or put in jail if you have a well installed on your property to go in and tap into the natural resources that live right below your property. That's what freedom is, everybody. Let freedom ring. So to reiterate, rather than help citizens that are being poisoned by their own water, Michigan senators choose to spend their time and money upholding an already existing sodomy ban that is impossible to enforce. The ban was able to pass because it was attached to an animal rights bill mostly aimed at keeping pets out of the hands of animal abusers. The discriminatory measure is squeezed inside the section banning bestiality as an asinine suggestion by Michigan senators that two consenting adults having the freedom to be intimate is equatable to sexual abuse of an animal. The language of the bill reads, quote, "A person who commits the abominable and detestable crime against nature, sodomy, either with mankind or with any animal, is guilty of felony punishment by imprisonment for no more than 15 years. Republicans, Democrats, Republicans versus Democrats. What side are you on? Choose right now. Choose. Make your choice. What side are you on? What side are you on? This fucking horse shit. Like I said before, we deserve it all. We deserve it all. Good evening, everybody. This is Quite Frankly. I'm Frank. It's 7:09 p.m. here on the East Coast, and you're just chilling with me, and I'm chilling with you. Let's see. Does anybody have any polling updates from New Hampshire? I know that everything should be ending pretty soon, probably within the next hour or so. But I don't know how many districts and counties are reporting. That would be cool to get some updates here. Although New Hampshire results are usually very fickle to the as far as end results and the polling that was done beforehand. Other things got to talk about. I got this one thing. Now, last night's episode was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. And I really, really enjoyed the talks that we had about the Super Bowl, advertising, and businesses, and everything that was put out there. And it led to great places. Led to really great places. With, of course, just the across-the-board demonizing of capitalism and free market and the ability to take advantage of the fact that 110 million people. It's not the fact that 110 million people are duped into getting together and watching the Super Bowl. Because the Super Bowl, unlike the World Series, is pretty unique. In fact, let's do something right now. I want to see average viewership for a World Series game. All told, the five-game series, this was probably 2015, yeah, five-game series averaged 14 million viewers. That was last year. And of course, you know, that is a best of seven, the World Series. But the five-game series last year ended in five games, 14.7 million viewers. Now, of course, advertising is jacked up on Fox for the World Series. But is it anything like the Super Bowl, where we have managed to get everybody sucked into this vacuum, this media vacuum, social media now compounded on top of it, other channels doing their own thing, the puppy bowl, the kitten bowl, this and that. Everybody got their own little bowls, the lingerie bowl, everything leading up to the big game. People want to take advantage of the fact that people are already congregating hours before. They're already drinking. They're thinking of things to snack on. They're thinking of things to snack on the next day when they're working off of their hangovers. Everything. Okay? So what is more upsetting? That businesses with money spend their money to expand their businesses, which then help people around them? Or that 110 million people, most of whom don't watch football at all, are just sucked into this. Sucked in. We want to watch. In fact, we want to watch the commercials. Okay? Now, the last few years, they have been terrible. Just shit. There's a couple of ones that stand out. You're like, all right, that one was good. But they're getting a little, they're just getting weird. They're getting lame. A couple of them just like look like regular old commercials. It's mostly big corporations that want to just make social statements, you know, shaming boys about beating women. That's another thing. Just putting domestic abuse squarely on the shoulders of men. That's another fun thing that's done these days. I mean, that's it. I mean, just why are you blaming everybody? Can you imagine if all that was put together and we can cure hunger? You created this. 110 million people getting together in one area. You're either going to get advertised to, or you're going to, what?
I don't know
what to say. Well, if I had a story over here, when Matt was here, but Matt's not here tonight, so I'm not going to be able to get around to this story. But I have a couple other things here I wanted to do. First of all, let me see who's in the chat room. Aunt Caparado, what's going on, Blood Skull? Fukuyama Sutra from Common Sense Post. My man, you should call in sometime. Talk about Common Sense Post and what's the hottest thing on the headlines today and all that stuff. Jenny Lee, Johnny Broom from New Hampshire. He's right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. The craziness. Moonlit Altar, Nikki, Raven Girl, Rumble and Roar, a bunch of other people that are watching but are not tuned, not signed into the chat room, please come and hang out. Get on in. But on top of that, what I had here was a few things. First of all, on Hillary Clinton, I want to get around to that. And then I want to do this day in history. Let's actually do that first. A couple things that were really, really cool on here. George Custer was married. As if we give a shit. 1864. On this day in 1864, Union General George Armstrong Custer marries Elizabeth Bacon in Monroe, Michigan, where sodomy was completely illegal and has now been reaffirmed in 2015. All these years later, he got married in a state, and he and Elizabeth Bacon were not able to do it in the butt that night, which is terrible. Because anybody knows on your honeymoon, there should be copious amounts of anal sex. At least that's what I believe. While the young cavalry officer was on leave, so he did it on leave. Good for him. 1950, Cold War. McCarthy says communists are in the State Department. Ha! Ha! a communist is a leading Democratic candidate this year. Isn't it amazing how far we've come or how far we've gone backwards, everybody? Can you imagine that? There's communists in the State Department, and we were up in arms looking for anybody to hang. And now we're now a communist is going to be a leading vote getter. Oh, my God. Washed up communist with a legion of college freshmen behind him. 1960, Coors Brewing heir is kidnapped. Imagine that. Adolf Coors disappears while driving to work from his Morrison, Colorado home. Colorado, where Max is from. So, of course, this is probably something that has been very, very acknowledged all throughout Colorado all these years later. The grandson of the Coors founder and chairman of the Golden Colorado brewery was kidnapped and held for ransom before being shot to death. Surrounding evidence launched once the FBI's largest manhunt to search for George Corbett, and so he got shot. It's terrible. 2001, on this day in 2001, U.S. sub collides with Japanese fishing boat in Pearl Harbor. That's kind of weird. Because then the Pearl Harbor of our time would happen a couple of months later. As the PNAC report said. Or the foreboding. Getting all these, trying to see if any of the notifications coming in were anything out of New Hampshire. But I got you guys for that. The Skype line is on as well. We're going to be just cruising tonight, man. 100% just cruising along, because it's one of those days where I'm actually kind of sick of everything going on. Sick of everything going on in New Hampshire and all the talking and the shit. And I just saw this sodomy article on Facebook as I went in real quick to check on a status, a very specific status I was going for. And it just made me really happy that I'm completely out of the Facebook game. I can't stand it. I can't say, because I cannot imagine what some of the people say. Girl, you'll be able to see this all throughout Facebook right now. Wherever that article is trending, you see, or somebody will probably say, "Well, we got our priorities straight, don't we?" Nah, none of you do. None of you do, because both parties, all of your creeps are at work. That's the problem. We don't have our fucking our shit straight. That's a real big problem that we have. And that's why I'm on here, to chill, because I need to just hold on a second. Ever want to put 2 9-volt batteries up to your neck and have the whole, you remember when Bela Lugosi brings Boris actually, was that Boris Karloff who was in, I know Lon Chaney Jr., Bela Lugosi. It might have been Boris Karloff who was in Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein. I don't think it's Karloff. Let me see here. No, it was Glenn Strange. Yeah, it was Glenn Strange. There was none of that. There you go. Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney Jr., and Glenn Strange. And Lugosi goes in there in the first 20. Oh, wait, here it is. Let's watch it together, shall we? So Lugosi's over Strange right now, and he's taking out his 9-volt battery, and now he's just, boom, waking him up. And that's me, Frankenstein. Oh, now you're screwed.
Master. Yeah.
Yeah. In a trance, he was. So awesome. You see, those are the things that go through my head all the time. I walk around and it's just everything. Everything reminds me of all of these different movies, and especially movies like that. That was such a good, a big movie in my childhood. I used to watch that at my grandparents' house all year long. That and Follow That Ghost, or Catch That Ghost. What the hell is it called? All the Abbott and Costellos. Abbott and Costello, not too much with Three Stooges, but the Marx Brothers. Oh, my God. My grandparents loved Groucho. Loved him. I always liked Harpo, too. He was always very, very odd to me. Odd creature. And then you have Laurel and Hardy. Watched a lot of Laurel and Hardy. Little Rascals, the original Little Rascals were fantastic. Those are days. You want to talk about American, like American, a time in America that I would love to just jump into the screen. Some of the sunny days in the original Little Rascals, I absolutely loved. It's like a place in a dream. Like a couple of those episodes where they're playing hooky and stuff, and it's just a sunny day, and they're skipping school and all that shit. Oh, God. I loved all that. I still do. I gotta actually get the entire collection and start that up again. Nothing feels better than that. But that being said, what else has happened this day in history? The presidential election decided in the House as no presidential, like this is 1825, as no presidential candidate received a majority of the electoral votes in the election of 1824, the U.S. House of Representatives votes to elect John Quincy Adams, who won fewer votes than Andrew Jackson in the popular election as President of the United States. Adams was the son of John Adams and a staunch abolitionist at that. Like his father. 1825 presidential election decided the hell we already did that. Okay. Davis Cup, I don't care about that. Don't care about that. McCarthy did that. Anything else? Oh. This is a pretty significant one. 1964, America meets the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. Great record. At approximately 8:12 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, February 9th, 1964, the Ed Sullivan Show returned from a commercial for Anacin Pain Reliever, which I believe is still out there. And if it's not, it's only been discontinued recently, because when I was working in the Lion Park Pharmacy all throughout my high school and college years, we had Anacin. And there was Ed Sullivan standing before a restless crowd. He tried to begin his next introduction, but then stopped and extended his arm in the universal sign, "Hey now." And then the Beatles went on. They did their thing. And here we are. And here we are in 2016. The current year is an impressive year. Not really. You think about all the unimpressive years out there in human history, and especially in American history. And if you were living within those years, somebody was making the current year argument. You know, hey man, it's 1973, you got to get with it. Oh God. Time is just a motherfucker. Here, listen to this. This is a fun one. What Clinton said in her paid speeches. This is from on Politico from today. New York when Hillary Clinton spoke to Goldman Sachs executives and technology titans at a summit in Arizona in October 2013. She spoke glowingly of the work the bank was doing raising capital and helping create jobs, according to people who saw her remarks. Clinton, who received $225,000 for her appearance, praised the diversity of Goldman's workforce and the prominent roles played by women at the Blue Chip Investment Bank and the tech firms present at the event. She spent no time criticizing Goldman or Wall Street more broadly for its role in the 2008 financial crisis. It was pretty glowing about us. One person who was watching the event said, "It's so far from what she sounds like as a candidate now. It was like a rah-rah speech. She sounded more like a Goldman managing director." Well, you're getting paid $225,000 a speech for 5 fucking minutes or however long it was. What was it here? Clinton spokesman Brian Fallon dismissed the recollections as pure trolling. That's the other thing. The political class has started using things like trolling now, so we have to come up with a different type of vocabulary word. We got to change the vernacular up, guys. The lame people started using it now. Okay? Once the parents start listening to rock and roll, the kids don't want to anymore. Okay? It's not cool when some Clinton aide is starting to say, "Oh, well, they're getting trolled is what they're doing." Want to break necks. Get the fuck away from me, man, with your goddamn bullshit. You're not real. I can't stand fake fucks. Surrounded by fake fucks. F squared, motherfucker. Fake fucks all around. While the Clinton campaign declined to comment further on the calls that she released the transcripts of the 3 paid speeches she gave to Goldman Sachs, for which she earned a total of 675,000 pennies, not $700,000 by Goldman Sachs. And you think that what, she's going to stand up in front of, you think they're paying her $700,000? To be lectured on how terrible they are and how the country's plight is anything to do with them? Are you serious? God, she's fucking done. Done. Who is it? Madeleine Albright that came out and said that there's a special place in hell for women who don't, I mean, in essence, support Hillary Clinton? There's a special place in hell for people who give up their free will and their mind to demagogues and to vaginas. That's it. There's no one that's more pussy whipped than liberal political pundits. No one that's more pussy whipped. You talking about pussy whipped guys? Oh, women. Women are so whipped by the pussy. They love that pussy with power that you got when Hillary Clinton steps onto the stage and says, "I am Hillary Clinton. Vote for me, and the Trade Federation will not blockade your planet anymore." Max is on with us. Max is off. Max, call back. Talk about most pussy whipped people in America. Female liberals, there you go, who can't see past the pussy to the real world. That's exactly what's happening here. This woman, look at this. Come on, everything's a lie. What's going on, brother man? How you doing?
All right, I was just thinking about like Madeleine Albright's comments about Hillary.
Yeah.
And I had a... we had this function at my workplace, and it was kind of a pro woman getting into science kind of an ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were lots of, like, you know, the Girl Scouts were coming out. That's awesome. You know, but there was this other group. I'm not going to tell you their names because that would be like, you know, anyways.
Okay. You got it.
But the, this lady, she's got all these young girls, and she's describing her group. It's like, oh, you know, it's just a group for young women to come out and you know, eight girls in elementary to middle school to come out and do science stuff. Well, you know, we went out to a weather observing post, and we went out to an observatory, and it sounds like a bunch of cool stuff. Like, oh man, I'm on board with that. Yeah. And then she's like, somehow it got tracked, and she's like, you know, we really need almost like some affirmative action for scientists, because, you know, women need to, there needs to be more women scientists. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, why do you think that? Well, she's like, oh, it even goes back to Hillary Clinton. You know, we've had 44 men, and we need to have, you know, women. We just absolutely have to have a woman. Isn't it time? It's the current year. And then isn't it time? And I didn't want to like get hostile, because she's, you know, a customer and stuff like that. So I didn't bring up anything like, oh, would you vote for Carly Fiorina versus Bernie Sanders then? Or Carly Fiorina versus Bernie Sanders if Hillary Clinton ends up in jail or something like that, hopefully. But then she's like, I wanted to like fight back against this affirmative action thing. Mm. I was there with my worker, who is a Guyanese female, and you know, it's hard to fight back aggressively, but she's not there because of affirmative action, but she's, you know, half black, half Indian, from, you know, the Caribbean and stuff like that. So it's, I was like, oh yeah. And then the other person who was working with me was a single mom, Latina, in her 30s, going back to school.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, well, I was just giving examples of affirmative action and seeing how much they really enjoyed those examples. So I linked an article about Princeton, and how many points they add or subtract from your SAT score based on your race alone. And if you don't think that subtracting points from somebody's SAT score for being Asian is racist, and if you support that, you're a racist, and if you support voting for somebody because they have no Y chromosomes, or I don't know, maybe, I don't know how we define women anymore these days, but anybody who identifies as woman, I would love to see Trump, you know, have a revelation in the later part of his life and just get rid of this pretense of being a man. He's obviously fabulous with all of his tanning and hair products. So, it was a wild ride, and I just really did not want to like invite her back at that point. It's like, oh yeah, I'll see. You
oh
guys
great,
around.
You know, it was great meeting you before I realized you were nuts.
And then I realized the even worse part is like she's like a major mentor to a lot of young girls.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of young girls that have their minds completely melted away. It's very, very sad to see that those are the hands that we have kids in. I mean, that's what kids' minds belong to now. Here's something I've been waiting to put up to talk about for a while, for about a week or so. Mm-hmm. University safe space training says accepting homosexuality is homophobic. Also, another headline was, university claims Adele's Hello normalizes sexual harassment. I also saw this other comic book, I thought, actually just today, about STEM research and all that stuff, about, you know, jobs fair and all that stuff, what you want to sign up for. And they had these two booths set up. One was to sign up for STEM classes, and one was to sign up for gender studies classes. The next frame in the comic is like maybe three girls show up to, they walk right past the STEM research, the STEM sign up booth, and go right to the gender studies sign up booth. And then in the final frame, you have those same three girls picketing right next to both of the booths, saying how we need more women in STEM, and STEM is a boys club and all that stuff, and we need affirmative action, all that stuff. And it just goes down to all of the things, all the dirty little tricks that are pulled out on the young female minds of this country right now, and for the most part for the rest of the world. But to be honest, the world is too big for us to care about the rest of the world. And if these are the females that are going to affect us by their inanity, then we have to tackle the inanity here at home. And the fact that they are told at such a young age that they are automatically at a disadvantage, and then told and pushed off toward different fields of study that completely contribute toward the disparity of, you know, gender differences in certain fields. And they don't tell you the reason why. And they don't tell you that the reason why there is a small wage gap, or the fact that their own teaching and the own way that they're branding and indoctrinating them perpetuates the wage gap, because they don't want to acknowledge that people actually do have choices to make.
It's, I mean, like, when's the last time that they addressed the garbage disposal technician gap, or the lumber felling technician gap, or something like that?
Yeah, or the Alaska fisherman. You know, the deadliest catch people. Mm-hmm. What's going on there? Why isn't everybody? Why is that? Why are all these things? I don't get it. It's almost as if you're making the point in so many ways that you have a female ice cream scooper, and you have a male, firefighter. Or a male. Give me a really dangerous job.
Firefighting's up there.
But as far as pay goes,
those fishermen or lumbermen.
Okay.
I mean, it's so predominantly male.
So in a female,
the word for it is lumberjack.
In a female dominated, nursing, teaching, guidance counselor. So you take anything like that and you got to put it up against something else. First of all, the whole CEO thing. I love when people say, we need more female CEOs. What does that mean? Is there a CEO school? Why didn't I go to, why didn't I go to CEOs? I'm ridiculous. I almost want to slap myself. I went and I studied business management at Manhattanville College, and I didn't enroll myself into CEO 101. I completely missed all of those courses, and now I'm at a complete disadvantage. I feel...
Well, you know, I think the real CEO school... Maybe they're thinking it's like the fraternities or something like that, because, you know, I mean, with the way the college is working these days, they've dumbed down all of the curriculum so much that it's really just a networking opportunity.
Right.
And unless you're in a STEM field where you're learning how to do, you're gaining real skills. I mean, this is the reason to go to don't go to college to get your painting degree. Just paint for 4 years and you'll be a better painter than if you had been painting for somebody else and for 4 years and getting anything. Or don't go to school for gender studies. Just study gender.
I'll tell you something, man. I have never put anything out there. I've worked with plenty of graphic designers, web designers, friends of mine who know how to use WordPress, people who are whizzes with Photoshop. 98% of them didn't go to school for it, and 100% of the time, I have never asked a graphic designer to show me some proof that they went to school for it. I don't know why people do it.
No, show them a portfolio. That's what you do to earn people's... So, like, when my band was selecting out artwork, which, by the way, we have awesome artwork. I'll show you on my shirt. When we were picking out the artwork, you know, she'd done a little bit of work for us before. She didn't go to school. She just went and
Intergalactic Peace Jelly?
Yes, we are Intergalactic Peace Jelly.
That's awesome. I got to listen to it.
Yeah, it's up on my YouTube, so go check it out there.
I will.
We've got a couple of videos. We just released an EP. But, you know, I'm not sure she went to school, but we didn't ask if she went to school. It's so irrelevant. It's show me what you've done before.
Hey, listen, everything is, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run. And that's the scariest part of all. Johnny Vroom just said in the chat room that Vermin Supreme is third right now.
Nice.
Hold on, let me see. New Hampshire.
Third place by how much, though? Because I'm just looking at CNN's Dem primary. Oh, Clinton's closing the gap as more results come in.
Where are you on Real Clear Politics? Where?
CNN.com/elections/primaries/states/NH/Dem. Oh my God, so much. Sanders has 2,400 votes. Clinton has about 2,000, just shy. And they're not showing Vermin Supreme. Shame. They're saying 2% in right now. But Republicans, Trump's pulling ahead now.
Wait, hold on. Did you put it in the chat room? Is there something
I can click on? Oh, I should have.
Yeah, put it in the chat room because I'd like to look at the same thing that everybody else is, because I just found another thing here that is not giving me any of the answers. Okay, there it is.
Sorry.
Let's see here.
So
Trump.
Before, when I looked earlier, Trump, Cruz, and Kasich were all in a dead heat with each other.
Trump is going to run away with this one.
Yeah, I think Trump's going to run away with it as well. He's already starting, but that's only 1% reporting.
Oh, it's 1%?
Yeah, it's the 1%.
Bernie would have them put away.
Put away.
You saw that? You saw that that screen capture about Bernie Sanders, about how Bernie Sanders, alas, when all was said and done, he needed the 1% and in Iowa. Lost 50-49.
Yeah.
O'Malley. I tell you, man. O'Malley stuck around just for that.
I dig it.
Ridiculous.
What is it? O'Malley. We talked about Webb. What was it? Yeah, Webb last time. Who now from New York? From New York, Bloomberg is thinking about an independent run.
If he does that, hell, that would be really fucking interesting.
Do you think it would split the? I mean, his first time he ran for as a Republican, right, for mayor?
No, you're talking about Giuliani.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Giuliani. Bloomberg has always been very left, very anti-gun. After he was done,
anti-soda.
Yeah, anti-soda, anti-salt.
He's like an unfunny version of Leslie Knope.
Yeah, 100%. He went and he did all that with New York, and then he tried to. He spent many, many millions of dollars trying to push it on to other cities and other states. I mean, he just went off and did his thing. Now, if he did consider an independent run, I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, he's only going to pull from liberal progressive voters. And it's only going to split people. You know the young people are not going to abandon Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
So it's only going to make Sanders weaker. It's only going to make Hillary weaker if she's not in jail by then. And it's actually going to – I don't know. I would have to think that anybody who leans left and has any kind of social prominence is going to be told, keep your fucking ass on the sidelines right now. This is so dire, we might actually lose it to Trump.
Well, so, I have a question for you, and just in your life, is do you have any like friends, like people you enjoy spending time with, like not family members that you see once in a while, but friends like you go out and do stuff with, that are like, yeah, Bernie Sanders, he is a revolution. Have you met these people?
My buddy Christian, he plays in a band. He's watched this show live in the chat room a few times. As colleagues in the music scene, but as far as see each other, well, no, we live in different parts of New York and we don't see each other outside of gigs and stuff like that. I want to have him in the studio, but no, I don't have anybody else because I don't know anybody that I hang around with. I don't know, man. It hasn't happened with me.
I my friends know that, you know, I lean, you know, libertarian / they call me anarchist. I like to say voluntarist. But
yep.
I had one friend who is actually I'm planning on going shooting with him tomorrow. This is the weird thing. Like, he likes guns, And then he's going to vote for Bernie in the primary. He went up to me, like, we were watching the Super Bowl yesterday together, and he comes up to me, he's like, oh, yeah, and I just registered Democrat so I can vote for Bernie in the primary. It's like, how suicidal are you?
It's a sad state of affairs when an old washed up communist who's never done anything or created anything that anybody's ever wanted is running on this this ticket of don't worry, sit back, do whatever you want, and somebody else is going to pay for it, and you know, whatever.
Did you see I like the Jeffrey Tucker quote. I need to find it exactly, but when I looked for, or when I saw it once, it was the positive about a Bernie Sanders presidency will be that our civil liberties will be very hard to impinge upon when we're all scavenging for food in the wasteland of America.
Well, look what I said before. You know, you're talking about scavenging for food, and then you look at Flint, Michigan, and you think about what has really happened with the state already. When I use state with a capital S, all over the place. You mm-hmm. think about how I think it was Maryland or Delaware. What was the state that was recently thinking about forming? Putting together a new rainwater runoff tax, where the tax that you pay was regulated in accordance with how big the area, the surface area of your roof is. Because if your roof is, you know, hit with, let's say you have a big roof, they calculate how much runoff water your roof has. So if you have a smaller roof, your taxes are less because less rain hits it. And, of course, you can't collect the water. People have gone to jail over that. You can't build a well. People have gone to jail over that. You can't do any of this. Most people can't put a fucking a basketball hoop in their driveway without a permit. Mm-hmm. When you need to ask permission for everything from installing a basketball hoop to being able to collect water – This is a substance we need for sustenance, for life.
I had a friend.
It's like, well, how much worse can it get?
It was this guy I mentioned earlier, half Indian, half African, Guyana. And she's like, oh, Max, I don't want to mention your politics. And I'm like, I'm the most apolitical person. I talk about politicians and politics, but I'm apolitical. I want no decisions to happen politically.
Right.
You want a basketball hoop in your front yard? Do it. You want to collect your rainwater? Do it.
Yeah. So. See, but that's the thing. People don't get that how to discern between, you know, talking government. Like I say with this, the three copy points for this show on the promotion image is politics. I usually put, if I had room there, I usually put government politics, because I always say politics happens between circles of friends. You know, people form cliques. People have special interests. They try to suit their own purposes. They form strategic alliances. They gang up on other people. They manipulate each other. Every head, every shrug of the shoulders, every quirk of an eyebrow. It's all messages being sent constantly. Politics is everywhere. So I always try to say, you know, I talk government politics. Meaning the rabble that happens between these fucks that are supposed to be representing us, but all they do is stir the pot and make us hate each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there's politics is everywhere. So
yeah, if you want a bunch of conflict in society, what you need to do is to centralize as many decisions as possible. If you want a peaceful society, you need to make those decisions as individual as possible. If every time you went to the ice cream shop and you had to buy freaking vanilla, because I shouldn't say freaking, it was First Amendment channel right here. It's fucking, you didn't have to buy fucking vanilla because, 20% of people, this is the real thing that people consider when I get into consent to the government. And I had a great discussion on Facebook with another Bernie Sanders supporter about this, is, you know, I said, when you are supporting Bernie Sanders, you are condoning somebody who wants to confiscate an extra 8.8% of my wages every year.
Not only that, but they're condoning them to escalate force until they get it, to the point where you can have your life taken from you, even if we're talking about increments of days, weeks, months out of your life, and then having your wages garnished and having things forcefully. It's unbelievable. You know, my a friend of mine who is an acquaintance of mine who is Bernie Sanders' supporter, he's also in the past a Ron Paul supporter, which created such a problem with me for me. And asking them, wait a second, how can you go?
Oh, they're just trying to be outside of the mainstream.
I want to have him call. I really want to have him call in. I want to have this conversation because I told them I would never ambush you. We always have civil discourse. I would love to have them call in. I can't get anybody to call in and even have a philosophical conversation because we can't talk numbers. We can't talk money when it comes to what is trying to be achieved by all of this progressivism. We can't talk money because we know it's completely unsustainable.
Yeah. Oh, I don't talk numbers at all with anybody. So can I read a short little post?
Yeah. We have about a minute and a half left.
Okay. It's really, so I said after a response to, you know, you shouldn't be supporting Bernie, supporting increased taxation. It's really interesting to me how none of the people who seem to be defending Bernie have denied the coercive nature of taxation. Why are you even arguing and trying to convince people of things if you accept that violence is a solution? I think it's because none of you are actually willing to go strap on the bulletproof vest and carry the gun to knock down on the door of a tax evader's house. Your virtuous and benevolent ski mask minions of the state will do that for you. If you're not willing to personally confiscate other people's property by force, don't think by checking a name on the ballot for people to do it for you makes you anything but a coward, not a revolutionary. If you think it's convincing me to give up my earned income to some pet cause like healthcare, mass transit, or education, win it voluntary and open a charity or business. Pretending that voting for Bernie to take more of our money under threat of force will make the world a better place, that we haven't already voted for politicians who promise to end poverty, build the roads, and educate the children when the poverty rate remains the same, the schools get worse, and the roads crumble away, all at the cost of shackling the next generation in $18 trillion in debt, shows that you might be suffering from some sort of pathological altruism. Instead of doing anything that would make a positive difference, some sort of direct action, you instead think you can stroke your inner morality by voting and letting the one organization that has the legal immunity to initiate violence against nonviolent people do it for you. And it won't abuse the power just because you got to check the name on the piece of paper. Mm.
You hit the nail on the head again, man. It comes down to that. It's all it comes down to.
It's a religious ritual, thinking that you can check a name on a box and you'll get, you know, this utopia.
Well, here's the other thing too. You talk about religious ritual. It is, but the other thing is that especially for the statists, that is their religion. You think about it. You're talking about a government. Government is God to them. This is a great provider. It is an arbiter of all things, and they want their hands in everything. But for what, I don't know. Because if you're one of those people that feel like you're being left behind somehow, and you're not achieving greatness in the way that you dreamed of when you were a kid, tell me, what the hell, where are you going to go? Where are you? You're creating a society where even if you were to find a way to move up the ladder, it's going to be so hard to take the next step, because every rung on the ladder that you go up, you are completely stifled by this overbearing government that is taking from you, redistributing. So it's keeping everybody, it's creating a middle muddle of people. It's creating a complete gulag of it's just terrible. But you hit it right in the head, man, and thank you so much for reading that.
Can I share? So if you're wondering about the motivation of some of these people, so I had up a cousin, he's a doctor, and I said, to him. Let me find it. By the way, I'm sure that the fact that your business, quote unquote, receives $1.1 trillion from taxpayers per annum has no influence on the support for the idea that the government should increase the amount of spending that goes to it.
Yeah, people are going to go along with that. Listen, they'll learn the hard way. Only thing is that I don't want to get to the hard way because it affects me. There's so many times, and Max, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
No problem, everybody. Dude. No problem. And of course, everybody, tonight, the 9 o'clock show, I'll be live again with Anthony, Matt, Mike, everybody. We'll just be chilling. Maybe I'll pack a hookah. And we'll have all of the results from the primary at that point. We'll talk UFOs and space and whatever the hell you guys want to talk about, movies, music, all that shit. So stick around. Coming up next is Broken Filter Live. In conclusion, I often say, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just sink the ship. Go ahead. Have your way. Just so we can say, told you so. But then I quickly say, no. I don't want to do that. Why let stupid people have their way? Guys, see you soon. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. But once again, stay right here. Keep ZenLive.tv on an open tab in the background. Broken Filter Live coming up next, followed by Zidals in New York. And I'll see you at 9.